Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen, it's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us during the lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation 844-967-2789. And a reminder that if you like our show, tell your friends about it. We're growing. We want more people to be part of the conversation. And we can only do that if you share how much you love this show with everyone in your life. Greg seems very excited that we played that song.
Could leave right now happy.
So he's a trumpeter?
He's a flugelhorn player. Get it right.
Oh, sorry.
That is Chuck Mangione. His phenomenal track Feels So Good off the album of the same name, which was, by the way, 45 years ago, released tomorrow.
Wow, that's some trivia for you. Why do I know that song?
Because you've heard it in every elevator, every doctor's office, dentist's office.
I feel like it's like a TV show theme song.
I'm going to ask Jane, when we go to break, can you play it like further down the track? Because I feel like you're going to recognize it more, because that's the intro.
Okay.
I recognize it, but
I feel like I saw it on like a TV show or like a movie.
The meat of the tune happens like in minutes 4 to 6.
How long is this song?
I think it's like 8 minutes long.
Yeah, it's like 9 minutes long.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Back in the day when you could have a 9 minute song on the radio and play arenas on a flugelhorn.
That's so the DJs could go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
There you go.
But can we call this then the Feel So Good Hour? I don't know if we're going to talk about Feel So Good.
Well, the next topic is not so feeling good. That's not a real sentence. But should you, with the advent of Ring cameras, mm-hmm. and all of these new devices for security.
Yep.
Ultimately, you on your property can now feasibly film your neighbors.
Yeah.
Should we be able to do that?
I don't think so. And this is someone who owns a Ring camera system.
Can you see, because Ring is more of the doorbell. Well, and so it is like, it's largely what I understand. I don't even know if we have a Ring, but it is to be able to see when packages get delivered or someone's like on your doorstep and you can see who it is. And so I guess feasibly you can see the house across the street, but it's mostly just pointing right at your door, right?
But I also have Ring. I have a garage. I have a camera over my garage and on my back porch too.
Okay, so you do have one in your backyard.
So I can only see my back porch. On my Ring, on my garage, I can see across the street as well, a little diagonally, and then on my Ring doorbell, I can see across the street as well. I think you shouldn't be able to surveil your neighbors with a, I guess, like if I went to someone's house, be like, hey, I'm like looking at my neighbors. That's not cool. If I'm just if the line of sight is happening, then there's nothing I can do. But I can't like.
And it's interesting, like, how would you, because so basically the reason why we're bringing this up is in Brookfield.
We are sponsored by Ring.
Yes, exactly. That too. So in Brookfield, there was recently a proposal that was trying to curb this. Yeah. And so, and it was rejected. So there was a rejection of a recently proposed ordinance, means that it, as for now, it's still legal for Brookfield residents to record their neighbors' homes with security cameras. And so there's been multiple complaints in Brookfield.
Yeah.
And it was brought by Alderman Mike Hallquist trying to say you should not, because of privacy, you should not be able to record your neighbor's backyard while their kids are swimming, which I agree with.
But does that mean then you can record your neighbor's backyard when there's adults back there? I mean, to me, it just should be like, don't point a camera at your backyard of your neighbor. Like, you shouldn't be able to just have... With my Ring system, there is just spillover of my neighbors. I just can see them. I shouldn't be able to point a camera directly with the purpose of only viewing them. To me, that's an invasion of privacy.
Yeah. And so this is what the ordinance, so had it passed, the surveillance ordinance would have been restricted to the with how you place your recording devices. It's not saying you can't have them.
Yeah.
It's saying that they need to be, when they're pointed toward a neighboring property. And so it would have allowed common devices like a Ring camera, but it would have basically like prevented individuals from like placing the devices that would record the neighbors' backyards, homes, or like windows, which I don't know, but I guess it's also like, because what is considered public? Because you can film people in public, right?
You need to get their consent if you put it out there, though. That's why, like, when you watch these TV shows, they interview people, man on the street, you got to get their consent.
But this goes back to our initial conversation today, which was TikTok, is like, I feel like when people are filming people on, like, the subway, and they just post it, and... can they get in trouble for posting that?
I mean, if someone filmed me, I could go and be like, hey, dude, you filmed me. Take it off. That's. I mean, he can be like, no. And then I have to take it into my hands to do something about it. Most people aren't going to because they don't have the money or the time. But, I mean, when it comes, I mean, that's to me, like, it's not a different discussion, but that's a whole other part of the discussion. But as far as home security system pointed at my house, no. No, you can't. Sorry. There's no reason for you to be able to do that. That's not fair. That's creepy.
And why? Yeah, I guess it's the point of like, why is this happening in the first place? Like, what is the argument of the homeowners that are pointing
they
security
feel
cameras?
Safe, man.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because it's Brookfield. Brookfield people don't know how to like just deal with their problems. They think everyone's trying to invade their thing. They probably think TikTok lives next door to them.
Oh God, calm down.
I can say that my mom lives there.
But it's just surprising to me because to me this feels like a obvious you can record your doorstep, your backyard, like the entryways into your house for security purposes. Why on earth do you need a security camera pointed at your neighbor's yard or inside of their house?
You don't.
So I don't know why this. I don't understand why it was rejected and it failed in the City Council of Brookfield.
I'm going to say a word, and it's not truly not a joke. Freedom. I mean,
is that what it comes down to? It's like you're infringing on people's freedoms to have security cameras on their house to point at their neighbors.
To me, and I apologize before and after the fact. I just insulted the great village and town of Brookfield.
Is it a town or a village?
It's both.
It's both.
It's both.
Oh.
Right. Just like Pewaukee.
Didn't know that either.
They rock too. Two. Electric Boogaloo. Those areas are very conservative, and conservatives tend to always like trumpet or cornet freedom about freedom for freedom's sake and freedom and all over my freedom. And if you try to tell someone in Brookfield or any sort of area in Waukesha County that they can't do something with regard to their freedom and or safety, they're going to raise a stink. And it's probably just... I mean, I don't know if it said anything in the article about if there were people there like screaming and yelling, don't take away my freedoms to freedom, my security freedoms, all my freedoms. But that doesn't surprise me that it didn't go through because people are going to and people are with no reason are scared of nothing.
Well, it sounds like at the very end of the article, this is in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, doubts about enforceability and whether it is the city's place to make the change is what caused the ordinance to fail.
I think you can have,
which I think is legit.
I think it's legit to a point. I think you can have the ordinance in place, and then if, say, I am the neighbor, like you are my neighbor and you are filling my backyard, and I find out and I somehow get proof, I should be able to report it to the police and there should be consequences for that. It might be hard to enforce, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have something in place. It's like when people are talking about gun reform, like, well, it's not going to work. Well, then why? But we can still try to do something to help people. And if this little thing that, you know, if someone's saying like, this person is filming my backyard and I have children and I don't want that, my local government should be there to help me to protect my freedom and my children and my safety. Cause I don't know what, like, cause thing is, just because the person's filming me doesn't mean that person has the best in mind. For all I know, they're filming me for nefarious reasons. I have no idea, but they shouldn't be able to do that. That's creepy, weird, gross. Choose your word. I don't like it. Full of opinions today, folks.
Well, and the fact that they had neighbors that moved because they were so uncomfortable by this.
Yeah,
I mean, is that incumbent now on the real estate agent to point out when the house is up for sale? Oh, by the way, our neighbor likes to film your backyard.
No, they won't tell them that.
They definitely will not be telling them that. But
they won't tell you when there are murders there.
But it is interesting of like what level of government is responsible for this. Because, I think of in the... Like, at what level, because we were talking about it, because of the Elon Musk
it's my favorite thing kind of ice cream. I love a good Elon Musk.
That happened on Twitter, which on Friday night, which was the, Hunter Biden pornography that was breaking the first Amendment in the Constitution as far as Twitter not posting that during the 2020 election.
I like to call it Schmeckelgate.
But the idea that, because there are now laws in place of unsolicited dick pics being sent and you can't.
Can we say that in the air?
I think so.
I'm going to say that like every show now.
And so it's like, at what level of government is responsible for protecting people's privacy? And maybe it's not the like city council. Maybe it's a state thing. Maybe the fact that it's been introduced, it will be raised to a higher level of government that is their place. But it does feel weird that you are legally allowed to film your neighbors.
It to me sounds like a place what you do is a good old thing you call start somewhere.
Well, I think yeah, I don't know, it's certainly not. I'm also trying to think of in the time that anyone has to then go and watch, like having that much footage.
Oh, that person has a room dedicated. There are 15 screens.
And they
claim to know where Hunter Biden's laptop is.
That's a whole other topic that I'm debating whether or not we broach. What is the obsession with Hunter Biden?
Would you call it a laptopic? I'm the funniest person in this room right now.
You are. I say you're on fire today. You got a lot of one-liners.
I've had some stabucks. And it's I think you start somewhere. You start city level. And if it goes through and then someone sues and say like, hey, the city has no... All right, where does it go from there? But... people are guaranteed privacy from the government. Yes. And I don't want to say that this is a Fourth Amendment issue, but I do believe that this is an issue that someone can take up.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, would you buy the Goonies house if you had the money?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course I would.
All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us.
North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win. We're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 26 overnight under overcast skies, northeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 37. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Chance of snow. Lows dip down to about 32. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
Well, the truth, well, it hurts to say, I'm gonna pack up my bag and I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna split. I can't stand it. I'm gonna give it up and quit and ain't never coming back. But before I get to
welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Reminder that we love hearing from you. If you have an idea for a topic or a guest or you have feedback.
Unsolicited praise.
Yes, we love that.
From the 262, great job everyday Kristen and Jane. You guys need a billboard.
I would love to have a billboard.
I'm sorry.
What? And Greg.
No, they didn't say me. I don't want your pity. Hey, 262, I'm part of this too on Wednesdays.
Thank you, 262. We love that.
I came up with tall potatoes.
Tall potatoes. 844-967-2789. Or you can shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us.
I do agree you need a billboard.
I feel like if we got a billboard, I would hire you to write the pun to it funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be good at that.
Yeah.
All right, so...
You were just expecting me to do something right there and then?
No, let me down a little bit. Remember last year when we found out that on Airbnb you can rent the Home Alone house?
Yeah.
Or you can stay in the Home Alone house, and I forgot how much it cost. But I remember that was, I think, last year around Christmas time. That was big news. Well, now there is a fan who has bought the Goonies house.
Which one? There are several houses.
This is in Astoria. Hey, you guys. We talk about Ani DiFranco being influential in my teenage years from music.
Yeah.
Goonies was probably one of my favorite movies as a kid.
I saw the movie in the theaters. I feel like it was important for me to see it in the theaters at that age. Because I was that age.
You were their age as far as the kids.
I was around that age. I mean, a couple of years younger, but still I had that, we rode our bikes till all hours of the day, just all over the place. We had no plan. We just rode our bikes. We played. You knocked on someone's door and you're like,
did you ever have a treasure hunt?
Probably to.
You ever find a hidden pirate ship?
No, we just found Playboys in the woods.
Barry?
Not Barry. They're right there. Yeah.
Did you take them?
Of course we did.
Someone was very disappointed when they came back for their Playboys.
Where's my woods porn?
All right. So the Victorian era home in Astoria, is also known as the Goonies house.
Okay.
And someone's bought it. And so they're basically bought it in order to protect it and not have it be torn down or changed. But they wanted to keep it in the essence of what that movie was, and it was listed for $1.65 million.
I was just gonna say, how much was that house?
And an offer was accepted 6 days later, and I don't have that kind of money, but if you're that big of a fan, kudos to you. Yeah. To spend that to preserve
that's
history.
Amazing. Whomever it is out there who did that, God bless you.
But yeah, certainly that movie to me is, what do you think it is about that movie that makes it so
a sense of adventure, sense of friendship, over it, fighting bullies. I mean, gosh, I'm forgetting their last names now. But the mom and the two brothers, they were bullies, especially towards Sloth.
Sloth.
You know, that love, that, you know, unconditional love, chosen family. Like, it really does have, it does have a lot of great themes in that film. And what sucks, the only thing that sucks about that movie, I will say this, the only thing that sucks about that movie is that unless you saw it young, it doesn't have the same impact, which can be said a lot about a lot of films. But I remember a friend of mine seeing it, and she was in, at the time, her like mid to late 30s. And she's like, I saw Goonies for the first time. I'm like, what do you think? She goes, it's fine. I'm like, yeah, of course you think it's fine, because you are at this age now. You didn't have a Goonies t-shirt and a Goonies poster. You know, I saw it at least once in the theaters, if not more. Fratelli's, that was it, the Fratelli family. Mm-hmm. And so I think the thing that, you know, and it's a pure story. There's not all those people in the movie, all the protagonists are pure of heart. They're loving, they're family based. Even though they rank on each other, they still care about each other. And it's, like I said, a sense of adventure, a modern day pirate's tale, if you will. I mean, it's just a beautiful movie, and it's just got great lines in it too.
It does have some great lines in it.
And I challenge any person to watch that movie at the very end when Chunk says to Sloth, I'm going to take you home with me. You're part of my family because I love you. And he says, I love you, Chuck. Oh, my God.
What's funny about this is a couple of weeks ago, Mike and I were joking that for Halloween this year, especially if I'm pregnant,
yeah,
I'm going as Chunk.
Do the truffle shuffle.
Do the truffle
Come
shuffle.
Come on.
Do it. Have you seen Goonies, Jane?
Never saw it.
See, this is a good test. We could have Jane watch Goonies and see if you find it to be magical.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
You should
Please
check it out.
I will.
I think we should report back. As you watch Goonies, and as an adult, if you like it, or if you go, meh, it's fine. Because I think we did that exact same experiment with my mom had a theme night for the holidays, and an ex-boyfriend was there, and he had not seen it as an adult. And he, I don't think, was very impressed.
Yeah, but I get that. You know, I mean, I saw Top Gun for the first time about 10 years ago. It was fine. I saw Jurassic Park 3 years ago.
Did you see the new one?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it when it comes out on streaming.
Pretty good. It's better than the first one.
I didn't see Jurassic Park until 3 years ago, and I'm like, it's fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break.
I'm going to keep thinking about Billboard.
Think of a Billboard pun.
I feel like I let you down now.
No, you got it. You
oh
got
my
it.
God.
Noodle on it.
Now I'm in my head. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. I know you used to love me in every way, but now I'm giving it up. I'm tired of crying all day. I can't stand it no longer. It hurts me to say, but I'm packing up my bags and going far away.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
was about to get on the radio and be interviewed, and all of a sudden, I see something out of the corner of my eye move. It was a squirrel.
Oh, that's not good.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
I couldn't find the squirrel, but I knew it was somewhere in the house. I ended up naming him Albert. He was relocated to Brookfield, so he is now a suburban squirrel.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really missed you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
My Shiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Once I had a little dog, I called him Cracker Jack. He had a spot around one eye that looked just like a patch. His legs were red.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in during your lunch hour. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts. And you can always join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And I'm so excited about our next guest because this is a program Jane and I only found out about last week on air because we had Jen Dunn, who is the director of the Waukesha's District Attorney's Victim Witness Program and the star of that program in the District Attorney's Office here in Waukesha is Pepper the dog. And Pepper is a dog who has been trained to help victims of PTSD. And what we found out in that conversation is that the program that Pepper came from is called, is from Journey Together Service Dogs. And it is a program that happens, one of the many parts of it happens at the Oshkosh Correctional Facility. And so we reached out to Brenda Cercioni. Did I say that right? Who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. So welcome to the show, Brenda. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And so did I get that correct. Because I think when I was looking at the website, so there's part of the program that is in the prison, but it's also Journey Together Dogs is a larger training program and that is exists both in the prison and outside of it.
Yes, you're right. So the dogs, when they live at the Oshkosh prison, can't get enough exposure to things that would be needed for a service dog. So we have about 50 community volunteers that take the dogs out, give them exposure. Some of the dogs go to people's homes. Sometimes I take a dog and I take it to the grocery store. I take it to Lowe's or Menards or Walmart. They get rides in the car. They learn how to go through a car and a car wash. Pretty much anything you can think of that the average person would do that we want a service dog to be able to tolerate. The inmates at the Oshkosh prison, they spend their time training the dog, teaching it skills, and then our community volunteers are taking those skills on the road and testing them out to see how they do. So our volunteers do anywhere from a couple hours to a week or more that they take a dog and do different things with it. Other examples would be there's no squirrels in the prison. We don't have geese at the prison.
Yeah.
It's never completely dark. So the dogs don't learn how to just go for a walk in the dark. Because
that's so interesting.
Wow. Gosh, I didn't think, about that stuff.
Yeah. And so how long is the partnership with the Oshkosh Correctional Facility? How long has that been going on?
Journey Together was founded in 2015, but we've had a service dog program at the Oshkosh Correctional Institution since 2012. So we've had service dogs in training there. We started out working with a different organization for guide dogs. And I say we because I've been with the program for the full 10 years. Part of the way through, we figured out that we had more capacity, more inmates were interested in participating in the program than the guide dog school was going to be able to put at our institution. So we created the sister program. Over time, our program grew. The guide dog school moved themselves to a different prison in the state of Wisconsin. So we just grew and we filled up all of the spots. We currently have about 12 to 14 dogs. Our capacity is 16 right now. And then we have 43 inmates that are participating in the program, either as primary handlers or we call them sitters, so that when the primary handlers aren't available, the sitters take the dogs. So the dogs are learning to work for a lot of different people. Over time, as our primary handlers graduate out of the program, maybe get moved to a different institution or get released, the sitters become primary and we have new people that come in.
And so how did this, because it sounds, once I heard about it, I think both Jane and I go, and especially how Jen talked about it as far as the people who are in prison and the part of their rehabilitation is training these dogs that then go on to often work with either, you know, people who have PTSD, which is sometimes I think we hear a lot of that with veterans, but also people who were victims of crimes. And was that intentional as far as even for the inmates, like their healing journey and knowing where these dogs will, who these dogs will end up helping? Or what was kind of the origin of why it was important to have this be a program that was available for inmates?
So we've seen incredible dedication. Journey does not pay the inmates. The inmates are considered volunteers for the program. So they sign up, they're donating their time. They have to attend training classes. They work with the dogs in between. They're incredibly dedicated to the dogs. What we found in other states across the country, the recidivism rate goes down for people that have participated in a dog training program.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
Our focus is to try to help them gain job skills. So when they leave the program, they may not handle dogs, but they will have learned how to do goal setting. They will have had opportunities to create training plans. They've worked with each other to train new people that have come into the program. So those are adult education skills as much as they are dog training skills. To get into the program, they fill out a written application. They go through an interview process. They go through an onboarding process. And then all steps through the program, they're writing reports on the dogs. If a dog is having a training challenge, they'll sit down and they'll build a train. They'll write up a training plan on how they're going to address the dog's challenges. So our goal is for them to have opportunities to practice skills that will help them. We talk about training at the prison is a team sport. It's not just about one person and one dog. So interpersonal communications, giving and receiving feedback, all key elements to what we're trying to accomplish with the dogs.
It just sounds so incredible. Our guest this half hour is Brenda Cercioni, who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. She's responsible for training inmates, clients, and for dog selection within that program. And so when it comes to the actual, how long, I guess I've never actually answered this. So how many years does it take for a dog from being from a puppy to begin a certified service dog?
So we will take dogs as young as 8 weeks old into the program.
Wow.
We can, we won't place them till they're about 2 years old. And it really isn't about how long it takes them to learn skills as much as it's how long it takes them to become mature, and we know what their personality is going to be like. So just like a human, you need an opportunity to grow up, and not every career is for everybody. It's true as dogs as well. If we take an adult dog, which on rare occasions we do, but if we take an adult dog, we can have the skills put in place in about 6 months. So
wow.
Our puppies take a lot longer. And in the general, if we weren't dealing with a prison program, we wouldn't have a dog trained up that fast. These dogs are training 6 days a week with some sort of training experience, you know, deliberate training experiences. But everybody's dog is training all of the time. Every time they're sitting next to you, every time you take them for a ride in the car or you put their leash on, it's all training. The dogs are learning all the time. The advantage I have is I have 43 people that are using the same commands, the same terminology, and the same expectations. So from a dog's perspective, it's a very consistent world, and they can learn a lot faster because of that.
Brenda, you mentioned how important it is for the inmates to develop skills that are going to help them when they get out and hopefully help prevent them from going back in. I'm wondering about the emotional healing of working with animals, because I always assume that for some inmates, they came from really broken places and are very broken people. And I'm curious about the emotional healing that they get out of this kind of program.
Yes, they will talk about how much the program means to them, how dedicated they are, how the dogs have helped them. Some of them have had family members die while they're incarcerated, and the dogs have helped them through those kinds of things. It's also kind of an interesting experience from the standpoint of every 3 months we rotate the dogs. So whatever dog you have, you can expect you're going to get a different one in 3 months. And everybody says, oh, that's so that they don't get so attached to the dog. And it's really not. The reason we do it is when a dog succeeds, I have a lot of people that have been involved in the training of that dog. And as a team, we have a dog success on it. Likewise, if a dog is having some sort of a behavior issue, or, you know, they're just not understanding something we're trying to teach it, by giving them different handlers, sometimes the people just approach it different. And just like humans don't all learn exactly the same way, that's true with the dogs too. And by rotating the dogs, I can find holes in the training. And then one team to the next team can work on helping, you know, fill the hole in with the proper behaviors and stuff. So rotations are a lot about giving up a dog, taking in another dog. And, you know, everybody who has a dog at home knows their dog is the best dog in the world. So now I have to give up the best dog in the world for a different dog. One of the other unique parts about our program is when a dog is ready to graduate, the person who's receiving the dog or the organization has the opportunity to come along with me into the prison and receive training from the inmates. So they have a chance to see where their dog is going to go, and they have a big hand in helping train the person how to handle the dog for the ultimate success. So while it's always bittersweet when a dog graduates because you're so proud that they're graduating, and at the same time, you hate to see them go, knowing where they're going, knowing the change that they're going to do in the world makes it a lot more worthwhile. At the same time, they're getting an opportunity to practice their education skills and communication skills and organization and planning and everything that goes into teaching any class anywhere.
This just sounds, happy Jen mentioned this. This is so incredible. And so for people who don't know, because I think, as you mentioned, there's guide dogs, there's service dogs. Is there a different classification of specially trained dogs that are fall outside of those two categories?
So people have a pet, right?
Yes,
they're a great dog. They're a great dog, right? You can take them for a walk. There's certain stores that you might be able to take them in that are considered pet-friendly stores. Then another classification of a dog is a therapy dog, which my dogs are therapy dogs. So they're registered. I've gone through testing to demonstrate their skills. I can take them into a hospital or an assisted living location with permission of that organization, and we can go see elderly people. We can go see people in the hospital that are recovering from an illness, but they don't get to go to a grocery store. They don't get to go to a restaurant. Service dogs that are trained, and they, under the Americans with Disabilities Act, have the rights that they can go to certain public locations. So they can go to a restaurant, they can go to the grocery store. Those are working dogs with a very specific intent. For example, Pepper, we started by raising her to be a service dog, and what we found is Pepper had this extra sparkle or this extra interest in people beyond the person holding the leash. As a result, she became a facility dog. The best, closest example to that is she's a therapy dog because she is given approval to go to certain places. She doesn't get to go to restaurants. She doesn't get to go to grocery stores where the average population might take a service dog. When you see a dog in public, when they're a service dog, no matter how much we all want to pet them, you don't want to be petting those dogs. Those dogs are working, and you take their attention away from their handler.
Yeah.
And that's what we want the dog to do.
Well, we're going to take a break, but Brenda's going to be here when we come back because I still have so many questions. I'm so fascinated and encouraged by this entire program. And also, maybe I'll have a couple questions of maybe how I can train my dog. Does an old dog, can they learn new tricks? We don't know, but I'll ask you when we come back. Our guest is Brenda Sercioni, who is the director of training for and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. She will be here with us when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The best friend that I ever had was Cracker Jack, but he was more than that. A playmate, a companion, he was love and understanding. That was Cracker Jack. The best friend that I ever had was Cracker Jack, but he was more than that. Everything a kid could want, I had in Cracker Jack.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows dip down to about 26
overnight
under overcast skies.
Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles an hour.
Cloudy skies again tomorrow.
Highs level off around 37.
Chance for snow tomorrow night.
Lows level off around 32.
Cloudy skies expected.
2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
My dear, though I spend my days in conversation, please remember me, lost in my love, don't forget me.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Our guest this half hour is Brenda Cercioni, who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. And Greg, you had a question.
I had two questions. Okay. One, with regard to service animals, you were saying in the earlier segment that when, you know, as I know personally, you don't pet, you don't do anything. That's their job. They're working. When they get home with the parent, the dog parent, is it sort of like, can they play? Can they, you know, are they always on the job, or like when they get home in a safe surrounding, can the parent and the dog play around, wrestle, you know, throw catch, you know, that kind of thing? Because I only see service dogs in the terms of working, like they're straight ahead doing their job.
Yeah. When a dog is off duty, their vest comes off. It's kind of like a person when you come home from work, you change out of your work clothes and you change into your sweatpants or your sweatshirt or whatever you're going to do. And they get to be dogs.
Gotcha.
There's a few things that they won't get to do. For example, if you're eating supper at the dining room table, you're not going to feed them off of the table.
Yeah.
Because you don't want them to think that when you go to a restaurant, they're going to sit and beg and eat off of a table. So they lose their right to beg at the table. they lose their rights to be on a lot of furniture. And they trade those rights for getting to be with their person pretty close to 24/7.
Gotcha. And the other question I had, and this comes from an experience I had at my other job where we had somebody with a service dog at our work. This dog seemed very anxious, was running around. And then at one point someone said, can I pet the dog? It was wearing a service vest and said, can I pet your dog? And I was like, oh my God. And the guy's like, yeah, go ahead, pet the dog. I'm like, is this either a service vest that was bought online to get a dog into an establishment, or did he undo the training? Is that possible to undo the training of a service animal?
It's very much a thing about undoing training of a service animal. So different service dog schools have different requirements. And in the United States, you're also entitled to be able to train your own service dog. So different people have different skills. When you see somebody with a dog with a vest on, it's important to not make any assumptions about it. So I'm not, your example, I'll come back to you, but I just want to talk in general. Our people who are in a wheelchair that receive one of our service dogs are never challenged in public. Nobody ever says, is that a service dog or not? Because they see somebody with a dog and they're in a wheelchair and they make assumptions, or if they were obviously blind. People who have PTSD look like everybody else. They don't have any outward physical disability. Similarly, somebody who has diabetes and has a diabetic alert dog or a hearing dog may not look to us like we, you know, they don't meet the standard of what we think a dog for somebody who with a disability should look like. So it's important not to judge it because you don't really know what's going on. The Americans with Disabilities Act would say, though, that a dog in public has to be on, a service dog has to be on leash unless the task that it performs for you can't be done while it's on leash. So you should not see a dog off leash. That's a service dog in a public setting under 99.9% of the cases. The rare exception would be a dog that's trained to clear a room for somebody with PTSD. So the person isn't comfortable going into a room unless the dog has gone through the room first. The dog can't do that if it's on leash. Journey does not allow our clients to have the dogs off leash for anything because we are concerned about the safety of the dog. And we believe that we can teach other skills to address wherever that need would be. Sometimes you're also dealing with young dogs. In the state of Wisconsin, the laws are such that a service dog in training has the same public access rights as a fully trained service dog. That's what allows me, as well as our community volunteers, to take the dogs into a restaurant. We don't happen to fit the, in most cases, we don't happen to fit the definition of somebody who's disabled. But if we couldn't take the dogs in those places, we couldn't train them for it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So sometimes you're going to see a young dog. Sometimes you're going to see a dog that's just misbehaving. They are animals, and they can be once in a while rotten. And that's
it ended up throwing up at the place I worked.
Oh, gosh. What does demand look like right now for the service dogs? As far as, is there a wait list or is there an excess supply of ready to serve dogs?
We should be so lucky to have an excess list of ready to serve dogs. There's always a wait list. Journey does this a little bit different too. We don't do first come, first serve. We do best fit.
Okay.
So if the person that's on the top of our list happens to be very athletic and they're a runner and very active, and
I feel like you're talking to me right now, Brenda. You're talking to me right now.
I was using you for my image, yes. And our dog is more of a couch potato dog. That's the first one. We aren't going to do that match.
Yeah.
Some dogs adore kids. Some dogs are really neutral about kids. So if it's going to a family with kids, we want to think about that. Cats, other dogs in the house. But like I said, we don't do first come, first serve because we don't feel like we're doing a service to the family or to the dog.
Gotcha. So final question, because we only have about 2 minutes left. I feel like there's so many more questions I have.
Yeah.
But for people who have been moved by this segment and would like to either learn more or become a volunteer or donate, where could they learn more to support Journey Together?
You can find, we have a website, journeytogetherservicedog.org. You can also find us on Facebook. And I think I sent you a link. There's a TEDx, an Oshkosh TED Talk done by somebody talking about the Journey program and what it means to them to participate in the program. So that would be another way to learn about what we do.
Absolutely. And we'll link all of that to today's show blog, and we'll share everything on here because I think this is just incredible. And I will ask, can an old dog learn new tricks?
Absolutely.
Okay. How do I do that?
You're staying for the rest of the show.
In 40 seconds.
In 40 seconds, because Cliffy, he'll sit. He will not shake. He just, as a chihuahua, he just shakes his whole body when you say shake. So Brenda Cercioni, thank you so much. This was so fascinating. This is an incredible program. I would definitely suggest anyone who loves animals, learn more about this, support in the ways that you can, because you're doing both a service for the people who get the dogs and the people who are training the dogs. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
the devil's advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit,
oh, nothing says the president can't be prosecuted.
Set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership and say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now, of the two major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lierley helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday.